Welcome to episode 32 of Practical Defense, Handguns. Welcome back to another episode of Practical Defense. I'm your host, Alex Haddix. This week, our main topic is handguns for self-defense. I'll go into how to choose a weapon, I'll talk about the different calibers, and of course, safety. Before we jump into our topic this week, I wanted to mention that my article in Taekwondo Times magazine is finally on store shelves. The November 2008 issue has my feature article entitled, An Argument for Reality-Based Training. And the photos, along with the article, were taken by Mike DeLeo at one of our Jim Wagner classes last year. You can find Mike at centerofselfdefense.com. So stop by your local magazine shop, pick up a copy, and let me know what you think about the article. The issues will only be around for a little while before they're replaced with the December issue, so don't wait to get your copy. We'll be right back with our discussion on handguns. Where to start with this issue? I know firearms are controversial for some people. Not everyone is comfortable with guns of any type, and some would rather die than ever pick one up. I'm not going to be judgmental and tell them that they're wrong. It's all a matter of choice. You don't have to defend yourself with a gun if you don't want to. There are plenty of self-defense options out there. Arming yourself with a gun is just one of them. Also, I'm not going to tell you which handgun is the best handgun so that you can run out and buy it this afternoon. What I am going to do is share my experiences and opinions of the various options out there so that if you choose to arm yourself, you can make an informed choice. Although I've gone over my firearms experience in other shows, I'll cover it briefly here again. I've grown up around firearms of all types. I've had both civilian and military training throughout my entire life. My father, who was also my first weapons instructor, was a Marine. He gave me my first gun, a single-shot 20-gauge shotgun, when I was just 4 years old. When I was an early teen, I used to compete in pistol. I would spend my summers training at the Olympic Pentathlon Camp at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, Texas. The training was sponsored by the U.S. Army, and all instruction was by military personnel. I'm also a hunter. I hunt duck, upland bird, and wild boar. Now, when it comes to personal protection, handguns are the ultimate equalizer. You don't have to be big, strong, or fast to bring lethal force to bear. My favorite quote is, "God made man, Samuel Colt made them equal." Handguns are the ultimate point-and-click interface. So easy that even a child can use them. A child could, in theory, use a gun to successfully protect himself or herself from an attack from an adult. Now, last year I was asked an interesting question. I was asked what one defensive move I would teach a woman if I knew she was going to be attacked and had 1 hour to teach her. Now, the question was supposed to be directed as a martial arts type of defensive move. But my response was that if there was no way to avoid the attack, that it was going to happen regardless of all avoidance techniques, that this attack was a guaranteed certainty, I would get the woman a handgun and spend that hour teaching her how to use it. Now, the ease of employment of a gun is what makes them so dangerous. Guns and children do not mix. Guns and careless idiots do not mix. You must keep your gun safe. You must treat your guns with respect. And you must always, always keep your guns secured. In the United States, if someone gets a hold of your gun and uses it in a crime, you could be prosecuted as well. If a child gets a hold of your gun and commits a crime or accidentally shoots somebody, you pretty much will be charged with a crime, not to mention the civil suits. Guns are serious and should never be taken lightly. When not in use, guns of all types should be locked and placed out of sight and out of reach of children. Okay, now let's take a look at the two different types of handguns, revolvers and pistols. Revolvers are typically what you see in cowboy movies. These are the six guns of the Old West. They have a rotating cylinder that holds the cartridges. Big examples are like Clint Eastwood carried a Smith & Wesson 44 Magnum revolver in the Dirty Harry movies, and Charles Bronson carried a .475 Whitley Magnum in the Death Wish movies. Many police officers love their revolvers and would never carry anything else. My father-in-law swears by his .38 special revolver that he carried when he was a deputy sheriff. And one of my father's good friends carried two revolvers every day in his career as a customs agent. one on his hip, and the other in an ankle holster. Now, the other type are pistols, and they're also called autoloaders or semi-automatic pistols. These have a magazine, usually in the grip, that holds the cartridges. Big movie people, like Steven Seagal, carry a Colt 1911 pistol in all of his movies, regardless of the character that he's playing. You're going to find people that swear by one type or the other. It's almost a religion. Each has their pros and cons, and either will protect you. I have my preference, but it is purely out of feel and for no other reason. So let's start with revolvers. These are a great design that hasn't changed much in the past 160 years. Revolvers date back to 1836, when Samuel Colt was issued his patent on the first revolver. They are sturdy, reliable, come in all shapes and sizes, and calibers. They don't tend to jam, and if a cartridge fails, meaning it doesn't go off, pulling the trigger again will move you to the next round. They also require less maintenance and care than pistols. They're far more forgiving than pistols. So for ultimate reliability, revolvers are the real deal. But to everything, there's always a downside, and revolvers are not exempt. The downside to revolvers are few, but important. First, they generally only hold 5 or 6 rounds. And second, reloading them under pressure is tricky and slow. They're also called a non-gun person's gun. But my issue with that is that if you're not a gun person, you have no place owning a gun. Handguns are too dangerous not to be well-schooled and practiced in them. And personally, and this is just my opinion, I do not like the way revolvers feel when I shoot them. I have yet to find a revolver grip that fits well in my hand. I have big hands and my little finger always dangles off the edge. And I don't like the way that the recoil is transferred to my wrist when I fire. And again, these reasons are purely aesthetic and have nothing to do with the reliability or functionality of the gun itself. And then the other type are pistols. Now, pistols are over 100 years old as well. John M. Browning designed the first automatic pistol with a slide around the barrel pre-1900. He's also the designer of the world-famous Colt 1911. He was the designer, and Colt was the manufacturer. The 1911 and the slide design has changed very little in the past 100 years. And the Colt M1911 45 caliber automatic pistol is one of the best-selling pistol designs in history. Now, pistols hold between 8 and 18 rounds of ammunition. They have a very fast rate of fire and are easy to reload under stress by quickly swapping out a preloaded magazine. They're durable and reliable, and they also come in every shape, size, and caliber. They have a few more downsides than revolvers, and one is that they can jam more readily than revolvers do. And the two most common jams are a misfeed from the magazine or an expended round gets stuck in the ejection port. An argument against pistols is that they're more likely to stick if they become dirty and clogged with gunk. Now, most modern pistols are stress-tested under these conditions before they're issued to the military or police. A pistol with one of the best endurance test results is the Glock, and another is the Beretta 92FS. I would be very surprised if a modern pistol adopted by the police or military had any trouble jamming due to debris. But, you know, pistols require more maintenance than revolvers, but if you take care of them, they can provide years of flawless service. A critical component of defensive handguns is reliability. Now, whether you choose a revolver or pistol, you will need something that will work when you need it most. And most, if not all, of the medium to high-end handguns from the major manufacturers, like, you know, Colt, Beretta, Smith & Wesson, Kimber, Taurus, Browning, Ruger, and so forth, will fit the bill. You do not want to skip on your handgun purchase. You can be frugal, but just don't be cheap. The better the handgun, the less likely you will have a jam or misfire. So the next question is, do you want a big gun or a small gun? And my answer is, it depends. What it depends upon is you, your size, your needs, and your goals. We've all seen how cool Clint Eastwood looks when he draws that massive 44 Magnum from his coat. The thing is, that revolver is so huge it could never be drawn quickly in a defensive situation. What looks cool on the movie screen does not translate to the street. Also, that caliber has an insane kick. It is a big, heavy, slow, and hard-to-manage weapon. It would not be my first choice as a defensive weapon. The size of the handgun for you depends upon you. And just because you may be small doesn't necessarily mean you should get a small handgun. The caliber of the ammunition must also be considered. A small framed handgun with a big caliber round, such as a 45 or S&W 40 or 10mm, can also make it hard to manage. And believe it or not, a heavier frame absorbs some of the recoil. And in fact, it's common practice to attach weights to the end of the barrel on competition pistols to absorb the recoil and slow the movement of the front sight. One of the many pistols I own is a small-frame, compact 45. It is a beautiful pistol, smooth and accurate, and I love it. But after firing 200 rounds at the range, I can really start to feel it in my wrist. When I borrowed a friend's full-sized 45, a 1911, I could fire it all day long and feel nothing. The best thing to do is go to a gun range and rent different types of handguns from different makers and in different calibers. Most ranges will have a wide variety to choose from, and one of the ranges I go to has a flat fee for an hour's rental. You can try as many different handguns in that hour as you'd like for the one cost. And you try one, and when you're done with it, you just trade it in for another. Also, the range master will be more than willing to help you select a weapon for your needs. Most ranges also offer classes. Take advantage of them before dropping your hard-earned money on something that might not be the best fit for you. And since I brought it up, let's talk about ammunition. The components of a cartridge can be confusing and are often used incorrectly. I'll go over them quickly so that you know what the terms mean when you look at a box of ammunition. The item that you put into your handgun that goes boom is called a cartridge, not a bullet. A cartridge is the entire unit that is made up of the bullet, powder, primer, and casing. The bullet is the actual projectile. It's the tip of the cartridge that is shot out of the barrel at the target. The casing is what holds the bullet and contains the gunpowder, and this is normally made of brass. The caliber is the diameter of the bullet. Bullets can be of different shapes but have the same caliber. For example, a .30-06, a .308, and a .300 Winchester are all the same caliber, the .30, but they have very different bullet and casing shapes. Now, the grain is the weight of the bullet. A higher grain is a heavier bullet. A heavier bullet requires more powder to push it out. More powder means a greater recoil. Now, recoil is also like the kick that you feel. And Newton's third law applies here. And this is, the classic, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. If you're pushing a heavier object forward, there's going to be a greater push backwards. Thus, there's going to be more kick. Now for grains, in comparison, a 45 bullet is usually around 200 grains. A 9mm are usually around 130. My boar hunting with 300 Winchester Magnum rifle ammo is 165 grains. Now of course, you can find a wide range of grains in any caliber ammunition. When it comes to defensive ammunition, the caliber discussions can get pretty heated. The three most popular calibers are 38 Special, 9mm, and 45. In real-world situations, all of these will do the trick. But you know what? I know police officers that will swear and bet their life on their personal favorite. You really don't want to go below a 38 Special. The reason is that anything smaller will not have any real stopping power, and when you're defending yourself, you want the attacker to stop. All calibers will kill, but some will work faster than others. I went hunting with a fire paramedic a few years back. At the end of the day, when we were sitting around the campfire chatting, I asked him if he'd been on any shooting calls, and he said he'd been on plenty of them. I followed up the question with what types of calibers that he had seen, and to my surprise, he said he saw mostly 22s and 25s and 32s. I was surprised. I didn't think people even used those rounds for defense. So when I asked about 9mm and 45 and why he didn't see any, he said they didn't call him for those. They called the coroner instead. Now, when it comes to ammunition brands, personal experience says not to go cheap. The cheap ammunition gunks up your handgun far faster than the better brands. They use a cheaper powder that leaves a lot of residue. Also, the cheap stuff tends to have more dud rounds, rounds that don't fire. So go with the big names like Federal, Winchester, Remington, Hornady, and American Eagle. You also might see different grades of ammunition. If there's no designation, that means it's a standard ammunition. And there's nothing wrong with this stuff. I use it all the time. The next grade up is match-grade ammunition, meaning that it is more consistent in the accuracy and is suitable for competitive shooting. They also use higher quality components. Many police force sharpshooters use only match-grade ammo. For years, Federal has owned this high-end designation, but other brands are starting to give them some stiff competition. Another designation is military specification ammo, or mil-spec ammo. This is really hard for civilians to get. The differences here are the components and the manufacturing process. The cartridges are sealed differently to prevent moisture penetration, mold growth, oxidation, and so on. They can sit in a controlled environment for decades, and some even claim over a century, and will still work perfectly. They also have a significantly lower rate of failure than civilian ammunition. When you're in combat and you pull the trigger, you want the gun to go boom. A dud at the wrong time can get you killed. The last subject I'll cover are the types of bullets. Now, for self-defense, you want one of two types of bullets. You want hollow points or safety rounds. A hollow point round has a divot in the tip of the bullet. Now, this pocket causes the bullet to mushroom or expand on impact, giving it a greater surface area. A greater surface area means more damage and more stopping power. And again, you're using the handgun for self-defense, so you want the attacker to stop and stop now. The simple change in shape of the bullet has a significant impact on the stopping power of whatever caliber you use. Now, right now, the leader in self-defense hollow points is Federal's HydroShock. Another type of defensive ammunition is the safety round. Now, these are rather controversial and are good for specific uses. Safety rounds will not penetrate walls with lethal force, and they will not ricochet. They are a specialized design. Rather than having a solid lead bullet, they use shotgun pellets in a gel. When that gel pack hits the target, all of the energy and shot is immediately dispersed and discharged. The result is that the impact is greater than an equivalent caliber hollow point. Also, the round will not over-penetrate the target. Now, this means you will not shoot through a person to hit someone behind the target. You won't even be able to shoot through walls if you miss. It will certainly blow a hole in the wall, but the bullet will not pass through your home and into your neighbor's home. It won't even pass one room. Even drywall sheetrock will stop the round. But the strength is also a weakness. If you need to shoot through a light barrier to get at the target, it won't work. This is why many people, including law enforcement, don't like them. Ducking just behind anything will protect you from the round. Now, two manufacturers make safety rounds. One is MagSafe, and the other is Glazer, who was recently purchased by Dakota Ammo. Safety rounds are really expensive when compared to other ammunition. They're nearly $4 a cartridge, so you aren't going to be using them as practice rounds. I use the Glazer safety slugs in my home defense handgun, and I have for years. I've just believed in their stopping power, and the fact that they won't shoot through walls is a real bonus to me when I've lived in an apartment, or even here in a home when you've got children in the next room. Hopefully you will never ever have to shoot in your own home, but if you ever had to, it's just an extra safety precaution. Now, my last ammunition suggestion is to always use fully jacketed ammunition. This means that the lead bullet core is wrapped in a harder metal, usually copper. A friend of mine once bought cheap, non-jacketed lead ammo, and it ruined his barrel. Lead is a really soft metal and has a low melting point. Without the copper jacket, the lead was in direct contact with the rifling grooves in his barrel. The lead melted or rubbed off and filled the grooves in the barrel. He spent hours with a wire brush trying to scrape the lead out. He never did get it all out and just wound up replacing the barrel. So, as with the handgun itself, do not go cheap with the ammo. You can be frugal, you can buy it on sale, but get a name brand ammo with fully jacketed. So, in summary, here are some tips for choosing a handgun for self-defense. If you don't feel comfortable with guns, seek out some other form of protection. Always keep your handgun safe and secured. Above all else, safety always comes first. God made man, Samuel Colt made them equal. Revolver or pistol? Each has their strengths and weaknesses. Try them both out and see what works best for you. When making a purchase, go with a medium to high-end handgun from a major manufacturer. You want something tested and reliable, not something cheap that might fail on you. The size of the gun doesn't matter. It's what you shoot that matters. Pick up a weapon frame that fits your body and ability. Big or small, it doesn't matter. For calibers, go with a 38 Special or larger. Anything smaller won't have the stopping power you need for self-defense. Use only named brand ammunition. Again, don't go cheap. The best case is that it will just crud up your handgun. The worst case is that it will misfire or cause a jam when you need it the most. Use hollow point or safety ammunition as your self-defense load. Did I mention safety? Always keep your handgun safe and secured. Do not let an unintended child come across it. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you'd like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexaddicts.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe. Well, that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions and commentary, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com. Until next time, stay aware and stay safe.